If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Tuesday night, Saints Block Party Podcast. Been a very active day in the NFL. Today was the deadline that teams had to trim down to their 53-man rosters. And the Saints did that as well. What is going on? Like, what is going on? Here we go. The Joys of Live Podcasting. I can't even start the conversation about having a breakdown of the team's roster because of some shenanigans that only the New Orleans Saints can do. Only the Saints can do.
Only the Saints, bro. Only the DA-led Saints.
Thank you for putting that on it, because it is very specific to Dennis Allen. So give me a second. I don't know why it's not showing up on Twitter. Love this for podcasting.
Elon Musk.
Fucking up our money. That's what's happening. All right. It should be on Twitter now. Speaking of Twitter, I'm going to read you a quote. This is what we fucking get for putting shit on Twitter. All right. There you go. Good to go. I'm going to read you a quote. This is what Ross said. He was at the DA presser. Shout out to our girl Catherine Terrell, because I knew Catherine was going to ask about quarterbacks.
You know it, bro.
I was just waiting for it. So
let's get down to business.
She said, "Let's not stand on ceremony here, Bruce. We are both initiated, nigga." Saints head coach Dennis Allen says that he wants the backup quarterback competition to remain throughout the season. Not ready to make any declaration on who the quarterback two is at this time. I'm going to read that line for you one more time. Because I need to process it. He wants the backup quarterback competition to remain throughout the season. Now, if Derek Carr goes down, and I'm not wishing this upon him, but if Derek Carr were to go down in week one against the Panthers, Jadeveon Clowney, Trevor Penning just whips on his block, boom, Derek Carr just gets rocked. Boom, right?
First play.
Again, we are not putting out this out there saying that we hope this to happen.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
But if that were to happen, you're telling me that because there's a competition going on throughout who I'll say this. Isaiah Foskey is 100% lucky tonight, nigga, because he get a little reprieve right now, bro.
Oh, for sure. Because he would have been leading the podcast. Oh, bro.
Oh. Rest a little easy right now, Mr. Foskey. We can get to you later.
We're gonna get to you.
Setting you to the side. I texted this to you, bro, and I said, this is hell. This is hell,
bro.
We understood to a degree, I think, or had a vision of how things may be post Sean Payton, post Drew Brees. Whatever I envisioned, maybe I was naive or whatever. It's 10 times. It is 10 times, 20 times worse than I thought it could have been.
Not like this. Not like this. Because it's weird, bro. It's so weird. It's not just bad, like, I don't know, like just bad. You know what I'm saying? But it's this weird kind of bad where it's like you could do so much better. Like, the right answers are right in front of you, and they just choose not to take them. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, exactly. I don't get it. This baffled me. I mean, it didn't baffle me because it was such a DA thing. Like, it was right in line with who he is and who he's shown to be. So that's the thing. Like, the decision in itself, I could criticize that, but it's the decision in the context of who's it coming from. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's just such a DA type of decision where all he preached was competition all summer. All he preached about guys trying to get spots, guys jockeying for one position, competing. Does the whole thing in the third preseason game where Hannah gets one quarter, then Spencer gets another, then competing. After the game, he's like, you know, we're gonna see, we're gonna look at the tape, blah 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 blah. Then when it's time to put your name by decision, just put your name by. We're gonna compete throughout the season. those guys, watch the present. Those guys are still competing, and they're still going to compete throughout the year. Blah 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 blah. What are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about? You talking about the backup quarterback position? How about a backup quarterback, bro? Like, who's the backup? Just say it. Don't say it. Just say, look, we know who the number two is, but we'd rather not put that out right now. Or say both guys aren't ready, because essentially that's what he's saying, even though I know that's not what he believes. Essentially is what he's saying is neither guy is ready. And if that's the case, you need to bring in a vet. But I don't think they're going to do that either. So what message are you trying to say? Like, I know if I was Spencer or Hayner, I'd be like, man, like, this is some bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just how I would look at it.
And here's the thing. And you've tweeted this. I've tweeted this today. At some point, it's going to be seen who the backup, who quarterback two is. That person gets the other bulk of the snaps on game week leading up to a game. And the other quarterback, who's quarterback three, runs the scout team. So even if you don't come out and say who the backup quarterback is, It is going to be reported who the backup quarterback is. I'll say this. I can't divulge some things that I know about the situation, but I will say this. I believe I said it on the podcast about like a month ago or in the Discord, is that there, the starting quarterback on the team was pushing for Jake Hayner to be quarterback. I've said this. Why would the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints want Jake Hayner to be quarterback or be the backup quarterback and not Spencer Rattler?
I don't know. Went to Fresno State? That's, is that why?
You know, if it's white, it's right. But even Spencer got like, I got half of it. Like, I'm half right.
I'm up in there.
I'm half right, nigga. Like, or it just might be that, you know, there's a starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints who knows that if Rattler was quarterback too, and if he were to get hurt and get dinged up and had to go out for a quarter or a half of the game, that he might not get his job back.
And if you believe, one, that he isn't that sensitive, and that the Saints as an organization isn't that sensitive to the outside noise, I don't care what they say in every presser, is like, oh, we don't listen to the outside noise.
Stop lying to me.
We know they listen to the outside noise. And that's the thing that got me about this decision, because it's not a football decision. It's a public relations decision. And that's the worst place to be at a franchise, man. When you're making actual decisions about your team based on the outside noise, as much as they preach about how they don't listen. Oh, they absolutely listening. They are listening. Because the Spencer Rattler, the agenda, started getting loud. That shit started getting really loud, boy.
Hey, can we say this, though? Can someone run us our fucking check about that shit? We don't like to take credit too much. But there has not, and I want to give a little shout out to our dude Rob on Twitter, because I stole the agenda from his tweet of just delete that. We got an agenda to push.
We got to push it.
We got an agenda to push.
He get 20%.
Hit us up, Rob. So can we just get it like a minuscule little bit of credit? And it got loud, Ryan, because people aren't fucking blind.
Right. It's not just like Saints fans. It's like people that just watch NFL, you know, Jim Nagy, you know, just...
You were talking about the outside noise, right? one of the most hilarious things I've seen yesterday, Alante Taylor, you know, he goes on Twitter hyping up Spencer, seeing like, oh, falling out, seeing all the highlights on my timeline, blah, 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 right? And so us as Saints fans, we just like, we know Tay, like, we see it too, bro. And then for whatever reason, this man had to put out like a follow-up tweet saying, oh, you know, I'm DC 4 number one. Like,
stop all this QB1 talk. What?
Our dude Kevin said, Nicky Loomis had a gun at his head saying, nigga, you better put that tweet out right now, nigga. Hit send.
Oh, somebody, baby Carr shot him a little text like, hey, man, hey, buddy, can you correct this for me?
Let me point out what a huge difference of Drew Brees and Derek Carr, and I would never compare them in any way, but I would just want to point this out because it's such a salient point. The Saints drafted Garrett Grayson, third round, 2015. Was it 15? Oh, my God. If I knew that off the top of my head like that, I'm a big fucking sicko.
I don't know. It's 14 or 15, one of them.
I want to say it was the Pete draft. Hold on.
Was it the P-Draft or was it the...
God damn, someone... Can I go to a mental institution, nigga? How do I know that in my head? Just sit, Ryan. Just sit. I know that because... Shout out to Saints legend, Brett Hundley should have been drafted by the way. I digress. So they drafted Garrett Grayson, Colorado State. God damn, I'm a sicko. In the third round. And it was one of those things that was kind of understated for a while, but then the story came out that Drew Brees was like, okay. Like, even that the fact that he got drafted in the third round, Drew was like, watch this, and just went ham all trade, like just complete. And Garrett Grayson was not a good football player. He wasn't a good quarterback. It didn't matter. Drew said, "You trying to potentially draft someone that may be my successor?" And I think Drew had that mindset because you have to realize what he went through when he was in San Diego. Right? Philip Rivers drafted in top five. Like he was always being doubted. So once he got to that level of showing how dominant he was, he's like, y'all drafted him, bet. And he took the challenge to say the quarterback of the Saints right now absolutely does not have that mentality one iota. He is a sensitive, listens to everything and everything affects him. And that, I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to say any more than that.
No, I'm glad you pointed that out, bro. I'm glad you pointed that out because it just shows you the difference in how they built. You know what I'm saying? Like they just built different. Because Drew was going to let the game speak for him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm just not going to let you take my job. That's when he started talking about him playing until I'm 45. Everybody like, what? Man, stop it. He playing at 45. He got close. I'm like, damn. You know, but that's just the mentality he had where it's just, he just gets such a loser vibe from this organization right now, bro. Just loser. And that's just, I'm sorry, bro. That DA shit was, that was just some pussy shit, bro. Just like a pussy, man.
Pussy, bro.
I expected him to pick Jay Haynes as QB2, and I was ready to take it. Like whatever reason, because you like Haynes better, whatever. I would have took that, but to do no decision, it's like a half measure, man. It's worse than all other decisions.
Here's the thing, though, and I said this in an audio message in our Discord. It's the almost exact same thing he did last year with Trevor Penning.
Yep.
He made a decision last year that Trevor Penning was going to be benched, but he lacked the whatever fucking fortitude to be a man, or I don't want to say man. I don't want him to come out as a sex, to be a person that has any type of accountability and any type of just standing on business that can go and say, hey, Trevor, we're going to bench you right now. You know, we still believe in you, blah, blah, blah. No, he puts a hit piece out on him through a subscription website. This is the exact same thing. And just like, I can't make a decision. So I'm just not going to make one. I can't stand on a decision. It is. Thank you. Complete lack of leadership.
Yeah, I don't respect it. I don't respect it, man. And people going to say, oh, it's just because you wanted Spencer Rattler to. It ain't got nothing to do with it because however it's going to play out, it's going to play out regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, talent is going to win out. So, whether you put two or three behind Spencer, I'm not worried about that. You know what I'm saying? But it's just the loser mentality that's coming out of this organization right now that I want to root for this organization right now. I want to root, for them.
We all going to root for them
because I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot and I'm a fan. And it's just what I'm going to do. But God damn, why they got to make it hard? Like, why y'all making it so hard to root for this team?
Something that's so easy, they took it and just made it. Like, how do you make who picking QB2 is worse? Like, how do you take something so simple, nigga? So simple. Just give a name. And no.
No.
And on top of that, they make it like something that should be exciting for the franchise. Like, okay, you had like a young quarterback that's coming in that's looking promising and something that should
everything
be
you wish for as a football team that you hope you can get when you draft a quarterback in any round, but especially when you draft a quarterback in the fifth round, bro, you hoping, man, we taking a dart throw and hopefully this guy can be maybe a decent backup in the league.
That's it. That's it.
And now you potentially may have someone that could be a starter? This wild, bro. This is absolutely wild right now. Never seen anything like it in my life. I remain, every day I feel like this team does something that befuddles me more, but then I'm like, I shouldn't be befuddled. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think, has this ever happened with any team? I can't recall. Like, I know I've seen coaches, like, say a quarterback gets hurt, and then, like, the following week, they'll be like, look, we're not going to let you know who's going to start the game. I've seen that a thousand times.
Sean Payton did it before Taysom was announced the starter.
Right. We've seen that a lot. But to just be like, our two young guys are going to compete all year. Because and here's what people were saying on my timeline, people that were trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and all that. They were like, hey, look, they're both young. They none of them have NFL experience. So what he's doing makes sense. He's just saying that they're on the same level. And that, you know, he's not about to identify and declare one of them as a winner of the QB2 position because they still compete and they still have to show that they're worthy of backing up. And if my response to that, then you need to go out and get a backup quarterback then. If you still don't know, if you still are questioning that position, then you got to go and get PJ Walker or anybody. You know what I'm saying? I heard Jameis is available by the Browns. So try to bring him back, which you know that ain't going to happen. Like, it's not making no sense. It's not making no sense. No way you dice it, cut it up, deliver it to me, bro. It's not making no damn sense.
And then my retort to that point of people were saying to you is that if they're saying like it, or the argument is that they're equal, well, one player's been in the league for 2 years, even though he's been hurt and blah, 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 and another player is a rookie. So like if it's on equal ground and a player has been in the league for 2 years and they're about equal, usually the fucking tie goes to the younger player. Anyway, we could talk about this forever. Our dude Tony in the chat said, could have just said something like, we think Rattler needs a year as a quarterback 3 to develop to really get the best out of him. That simple. Would there have been blowback and pushback by hashtag the agenda? Absolutely. But at least it would have been a decision.
Who cares if you get blowback? A goddamn NFL team.
Speaking of fucking blowback with these niggas, can we make a segue? Why is Isaiah Foskey on my fucking team, Ryan? Why is he on my team?
Give me a reason. Give me one reason. Give me one thing. Y'all in the chat, please tell me, because maybe I'm ignorant. Tell me one thing, positive thing he brings to the football field. Just one. I'll wait. Anybody? Somebody.
He was drafted in the second round.
That's it. That's the reason.
Technically, he is. What is all right? Just kidding, JK. Dante said, "Big ass head." Demon time slime, sucking fallacy calls or but sucking call whatever. I don't go there, Bajan. Don't have the energy tonight. Erika the chat says, "Boy don't even have a personality."
Come on, man. I don't even see a personality on the field. Like, Even Peyton Turner got a little personality, you know.
Just vibes. Always just not vibe. Smiling.
Like, Foskey like an extra, bro. Like he in the movie. Like he don't even got no lines, nothing, bro.
Just an NPC, bro. Like what are you doing? What are we doing here, man? NPC pass rusher.
And I said this on Twitter. I said it goes back to the point that you made early in this podcast, and we've talked about on this podcast before. I just have to tell Jay to turn the AC on downstairs because I'm fucking preaching right now. I might have to take my shirt off in this bitch. These niggas got me, Ryan, hot. You can't preach all that shit about competition and just talk about it, how competition. I said, pull up the pressures and the sacks for Lelos in his two preseasons and Isaiah Foskey in his two preseasons. Just pull them up. You can't argue that Isaiah Foskey deserves to be on this team. Because I know what's going to happen every fucking game week, nigga.
In Athens.
Isaiah Foskey.
Just taking up a spot. Just taking up a spot, bro. Make it make sense. And I know their argument is going to be like, look, we believe it takes about 3 years to really, you know, show if a guy is, you know, ready. You know, it takes a while to develop some guys and blah, 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 blah. They're going to point to whoever, whatever player from the past, be like, hey, look, you know, he didn't Trey really Henderson. Start showing things. Yeah. Trey Henderson showed he was a pass rusher literally his second year. First year he's hurt, I believe. Second year,
yes.
You immediately saw, okay, this guy's a speed rusher, period. Like, he and over time he developed all the other things that, like, okay, he's a starter. Foskey has not showed anything. Nothing. It's so rare that you see a player that'll show nothing. Like, I'm being very generous, bro. Like, I'm real generous with players. I'm like, oh, he does this well. Oh, he does. Oh, but I could see it if you put. Even Peyton Turner, who we've given hell.
Even him,
you could squint and see, like, okay, I've seen a pressure here and a pressure there.
Yep.
But he could be a fourth, you know, your fourth defensive end, your fifth defensive end. He belongs on the team. He might play some special teams.
That's what Tony said. He said, at least Bond was a good special teamer.
Bond was born held to special teams down for years. At least, like, okay, well, he does bring that to the table. I can't give you nothing on Foskey, bro. Nothing. Prove me wrong.
Hard to be proven wrong when you're inactive on game day, bro.
Poor Lelos be giving all the effort and everything, bro. Just...
I know he calling him all types of names, bro. We calling them names too, Lelos. Don't worry. Dante said, Foskey has nothing after his initial rush move. He gets blocked and then is the noun factor. Not factor.
Not factor.
Earlier, Dante said, this fan base is literally the picture of Penning sitting on the bench at the open practice. Yes.
And what's up with that? Like, I'm assuming he's the starting right tackle come week one, right?
Yep, I would assume so. Well, we should have said this, right? There's probably going to be a lot of different moves made tomorrow. Yeah. I think tomorrow is like you could start claiming players and all that. So teams are not set by any long shot. We'll see.
No way.
We'll see what ends up happening. We might have to do an emergency podcast depending on what happens tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see. But who knows what they maybe have planned for the offensive line, but they don't got anything planned, and this is it.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple. With doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil, that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Yo, Wolf.
What up?
I'm looking at you, man, and looking like you getting slimmer, man. And I'm noticing that I'm dropping some pounds. And the last time we did this Vertimax ad, we were a little heavier in our lives. And we can safely say that Vertimax is where you need to be to help improve your athletic performance.
No question, man. And look, if you know about Vertimax, you've seen guys like Alvin Kamara jump out the building. How do you think he does that? That's because of Vertimax. Drew Brees, the athleticism he's shown, shaking Falcons players, diving in the end zone. Ooh. It's Vertimax. So, I mean, Vertimax.com, you definitely should check that out, folks, because it's helping everybody.
With Vertimax, at Vertimax.com, you have the V8 platform, you have the Raptors. They're designed to enhance physical jump, agility, and power. It helps create more athleticism and gives you a foundation to be great at what you want to do. Go check it out at Vertimax.com, the V8s, the Vertimax Raptor, Vertimax.com. Check it out.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of that great 2023 draft class, third round pick, Kendre Miller, I will start the season on IR. missing, what, the first four games of the season?
Yeah.
Missing the first four games.
First four games, and then he gets 3 weeks after that to practice or whatever, and then they decide to move him on the active roster or not. That little 3 week stretch is gonna be very fascinating to be. Dude that hadn't had any training camp, no training camp. And is not known to be the workhorse rehabbing. You know, it's not like he out there just grinding.
Stretching. When you watch receiver, right? You watch receiver, all of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had a player like Justin Jefferson playing with slappies at quarterback after Kirk Cousins went down, and this man was fiending to get on the field. did everything he needed. He was trying to do everything he needed to do. Because did he not have a hamstring injury too, if memory serves correctly? Like, it was had a hamstring injury as well. Played some games last year, even though he easily could have said, you know what, man, I'm about to shut this shit down.
I'm trying to get this paid. Team ain't going nowhere. Nah.
That's a mentality thing, bruh. It's a mentality thing. That's all it is. So right now, you know, the Saints did release Kabuti. They released James Robinson. The running backs on the team are AK, Jamal Williams, Jordan Mims, and Taysom. Those are the four. I would venture to guess that they plan to use Taysom in the run game very heavily. My thing is that they're, and I don't know how they feel, but it just seems like there are players out there at the wide receiver position and at the running back's position where if they really wanted to, they could get more juice. I'm still a little befuddled to why Jamal Williams is on the team. I mean, I know why he's on the team, but it makes no sense in terms of overall, I suppose. But anything from these cuts, and we got 54 concurrent viewers on right now. We appreciate y'all. Anything from these cuts from the Saints or maybe just around the league that you're really like tuned into?
Not really. I mean, I wasn't shocked to see Robinson cut, but I did thought he provided a little juice. He could be one of those guys, since he's a vet, that gets brought back where they try to, you know, because vet salaries are guaranteed after week one and all. Maybe one of those guys where they just try to maneuver like that. They definitely should. I mean, there's a lot of players out there. A lot of running backs, a lot of wide receivers. I feel like I got a feeling that they're just going to roll with what they have at wide receiver. Maybe might bring in one player or something. But running back, I feel, is still open for business. I really feel that way because this team going to have to run the ball. They will have to run the ball to be successful. So it's just a must, man.
Chat said Saints to trade for John Mechie. Arika said Noah Brown got cut from the Texans, so he's a free agent.
Tim Patrick
was the Broncos. Bunch said Quincy Avery was on my timeline talking about Rattler, bruh. Quincy fucking Avery. You know what's funny? That third preseason game against the Titans, Rattler's performance was for the Saints, not just for them, because I know how they think and I know how they operate. That was the best and worst thing to happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was going off, I said it on the live stream. I said the most Saints thing ever would be he performs this well and they make him quarterback three, and it really has nothing to do with his play. It has to do mm-hmm. with who the starting quarterback is. I said it. Steve, like, can we get a new script? Can we get a new something, man? Something.
Please.
I'm interested to see what they do at safety. They released Jonathan Abrams, mm-hmm. Jordan Howden's on the team, Will Harris is on the team. DA was very, secretive when he was asked about the safety. He's like, they just said that they have a plan and just would not get into it any further than that. I don't know if it means anything, you know, what they got up their sleeves. I will say that a player that I was very high on during the draft when he came out was Lewisine from Georgia. He got cut from the Vikings today. His first 2 years was like super, super like injury plagued. And then it sounded like this was his first like training camp and season that he was healthy and he was flashing a lot. And then at that point, it was kind of like a numbers game. That was someone that I would be, you know, eyeing because I liked him as a prospect. But because of how the team in the league value safeties, it just may be like, we'll just put Will Harris back there. We just put Jordan Howden back there. And just deal with it.
Which, you know, it'll be interesting, man, because safety one of the spots that you could only have so long. And look, maybe they coach him up. Maybe they coach him up. You know, I mean, they do pretty well with DBs, but
you can hide position. Safeties against subpar offenses. You can't hide safeties against good offenses, bro.
Oh no, they going, man. Come on, I mean, we seen what Sean used to do to him. Sean and Drew. If they find a weak spot in your safety, boy, they gonna tear you up.
Turn you up, man.
Gonna tear you up.
Turn you up.
So that's gonna be interesting. Wide receiver. So that wound up shaking out. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Cedric Wilson, A.T. Perry, and who else?
Bub.
Bub Means. Yep.
And when young.
Not surprising. Kwame St. Brown, he got released.
Bye.
Puka got released. Yeah, Puka.
Yep.
Not Puka.
Nigga, I wish, nigga. We be doing a whole nother episode right now. If the Saints had Puka, and they just released them, nigga. Samson.
Tipton went to IR, right?
No. That's right. He made it. He did not go to IR. So he had six wide receivers. Hashtag just a tip. Shout out to our dude Joy. I'll say this. That is the fact that he did not play a single down in preseason. He got injured after starting off to have like a really good training camp. Really feels like the team felt like they saw enough for him. And I feel like there's probably someone in the offense. Maybe it was Clint. I don't know. Someone in the offensive coaching room was pounding the table to keep him on the team for what. I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this out here right now. It's going to come out at some point. I would bet money on it that a report will come out sometime during the season that Spencer Rattler at the scout team quarterback is like making crazy plays against the Saints first team defense to Mason Tipton. It's going to come out, bro. I swear to God it is.
That would be hilarious, bro. That would be hilarious. It's going to be hilarious when Spencer Rattler out there working with the receivers after practice instead of call. He's going to come out. H. Perry going to be like, you know, they're going to be asking H. Perry like, hey, you know, what do you attribute to your improvement in your game? He's like, oh, you know, me and Spence out there getting it in every practice.
Can't wait, bro.
He did that last year with Jameis.
Yes.
I get a lot of reps in with Jameis after practice. Never hear that about Carr. Never hear about after practice with Carr.
Interesting. Chris said, got a bunch of receivers that are burners. Might as well have Rattler let it loose. It's even something I picked up on during the preseason, is that when Rattler and Haener were in at quarterback, Clint Kubiak called more deep shots.
Yeah. Either he called them or they're there within the call, like within the option or the progression or whatever. And Spencer just the type that's like, I'm going to take it. You know what I'm saying? Where other quarters will be like, oh, I'm going to take this, this little 7-yard hitch here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just take that and keep it moving.
And be late on it.
And be later.
Jay Sean said, I'm not surprised that Abram got cut. He was getting tore up every snap. Looked horrible. This nigga was like celebrating early on the Nakua return, bro. Whipped on a block. Get him. Speaking of your point of them with DBs, Rico Payton makes the team. That was the player that if they had cut him and left Foskey on the team, bro, they would have heard from me. They would have heard from me.
Yeah, man. And they had that was John Charles. He got let go. They had some DBs, bro, but I was like, man, you got to keep Rico because he has that look of a DB or a cornerback that should be playing in this league. Long arm. Yes, man. You know, he just got that look. So I'm glad they kept him around. Lou Hedley gone, baby. Gone. DA looked like he's about to drop a tip. That's his guy right there.
Man, you can't have a shank he had in the last. Like, the Titans won that game largely because of that shank, if we being honest, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Discone said it like on the broadcast. He was like, that's a game caster right there.
And it was.
Yeah. It was.
So rookie Australian punter, or the Matthew Hayball is the new punter. Maybe as of right now, there may be a punter out there that they, you know, that they see that, you know, they may go out and get claim and release Hayball. But at least right now, Hayball is the punter. And with a team like this that's built with defense, your offense is work in progress. We got to wait and see. You have to have, a good punter.
Got to, bro. Got to. Because I guarantee with Derek Carr leading this team, bro, it's going to be like those three or four series where it's first down, second down, third down, punt. First down, second punt.
Dude, that's sound like a banger right there. Right? Niggas love first
down, punt. We've seen it.
Yes, bro.
We seen it this preseason, man. We know they had that 95-yard, you know, drive, but that took like 2 fourth-down attempts, and that was after like three. That was like three and outs, you know. And yeah, I get it. It's just preseason. It's preseason. But I'm just saying.
You were bringing up the linebackers. A lot of linebackers made the team as of right now.
Yeah, man. A lot of linebackers. I got to look at the list, but I know Orgy made it. Did Rice make it?
No.
He didn't make it. Okay. Rose, he got cut. I didn't even realize he was on the team until this last game.
A preseason game, right.
Yeah. It's like, look at that guy. Who's that? Ford made it. Jalen Ford.
Yeah, Jalen Ford made it.
So it's, you know, nice looking linebacker. DeMarco Jackson. You know, obviously the top two. Is Nephi still on the team or IR? Nephi Sewell?
He's on PUP. I was actually looking that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got that. He tore his ACL like the last game of the season, I believe it was, or something like that.
It was late in the season, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still on PUP. Shout out to the us on YouTube right now. We got 65 concurrent viewers.
What up?
Appreciate y'all. This is, you know, how the team is coming together. Chris brought up a good point in the chat that I feel like is a very underrated thing. He said, wonder what the deal is with AK's contract. I don't know.
I know, right?
This was one of those things that we haven't heard about.
I think they just made a decision and just kind of roll with it. You know, this is his, he gonna let his play speak for it. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day.
Shout out to Cam W for the super chat, $1.99.
Thank you.
Why do we always go for random unproven punters?
No, man. Oh, like,
you know, it's funny. Have you watched, I'm guessing not, but did you watch last week's Hard Knocks for the Bears?
No, I'm not caught up on that at all.
So they drafted a punter in round four or round five. And they had like a little segment talking about him and whatever. Man, can punt, bro. Like him punt. It just goes to show the importance of having a punter that can flip the field and do things like that. And I think it's a good question. Like I feel like they can just find punters and be okay with the guys that they find. And try to maybe not divulge as many resources that is needed, you know, to actually get a good punter. Our dude Tony said,
you hit on one, it worked. I mean, what?
Mustad was
a fourth round pick?
Yeah, man.
And I mean, look, he solidified the position for over a decade, you know?
Tony said, anyone we released? Oh, anyone we release that you think we're keeping on speed dial? A, you're the first person we'll call if someone gets hurt situation. Ooh, that's a good question. Like, I feel like Abrams will be back on the practice squad. Like,
me too.
He just strikes me like he'll be back on the practice squad. I don't know. That's a good one.
Probably St. Brown. I think St. Brown. And Nakua, maybe. Because I thought Nakua showed some things. I mean,
a little bit, yeah, man. He did, sure.
So, I mean, there's some guys. You know, there's some guys. It's just interesting. Like, to me, I don't know, man. It's just interesting when you look at this team. Like, I was looking at the offense, and I was just like, is, like, take Clint Kubiak out of the equation.
Oh.
The offense is worse than last year. Because, you know, at least you had Mike Thomas for, like, 10 games last year.
Was it 10 games? Worst?
I can't remember. It was the Minnesota game he got hurt.
Yeah.
But, I just from, like, an on-paper standpoint, like, is it that much? It's not that much different. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they're really banking on Clint Kubiak to flip the script.
Fix it.
You know what I'm saying? And I think he has a good chance to. Like, at least the run game. At least the run game will be better, I believe.
I think my concern, just in terms of just seeing what we've seen in preseason and even some things like in training camp and some clips, is that I feel like Clint's going to drastically help and improve the run game. But conversely, my biggest thing going into the season is that if Derek Carr remains and continues to be late on throws, not accurate, like the run game, like it's going to help. The run game is going to help. But at some point, if you're just going to find yourself in the 3rd and 7 and a 3rd and 8, and he's just going to have to make a throw to convert. And you can scheme that a little bit, but at some point, bro, the ball just got to be out on time. Boom.
Oh, and with a rookie left tackle, a journeyman at left guard, and we think Penning at right tackle. We don't know. Like,
oh, Salsa Verde made the team. That
Salsa Verde made it. He's going on that IR, that 4-week IR too, right? I think.
No, I think he missed it. No, he's not going on it. Because they talk about that in the presser. Can we just think about last year's draft? Round 2, Foskey. Round 3, Miller. Round 4, Salsa Verde. That is how bad teams stay bad.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to give Kendrick Miller, at least, I'll say this about Kendrick Miller. At least you saw tiny flashes. Like, okay.
For sure.
There is talent there. There's talent. But he has a long way to go as far as just being a professional, you know, the tick heads body that cares about the game. Like, bro, do you like money, bro? Like, you can make money in this league, man. Like, you know, take care of your body, man. You know, be ready to go. Like, that's a big part, especially at running back. That's like a big part of the game, is to be ready to go. So, you know, they're going to give him grace, and hopefully he just takes advantage of it. But if I was like on the team, if I was a coach or something, like I'm watching him through these 4 weeks while he's in the R, like what is he doing? What is he spending his time doing?
Right.
Or is he just chilling, collecting a check, you know?
Shout out to Cam W again for the $1.99 super chat. He asked, are Jamal Williams and Kendre DA guys or Mickey guys? I mean, Mickey drafted Kendre. Jamal Williams was just a free agent signer, so I don't think he's, quote unquote, anyone's guy. Then Jay Sean said, Jamal Williams is a Saints media team guy.
For real. Yes. I think
so. Cam asked an interesting question. Which draft is worse, 2020 or 2023?
Oh, 2020 was rough, bro. Rough. You got who first? You had, was that Zach Bond? 2020?
Yes. Yes.
Zach Bond, the tight end.
Troutman. Finding Nemo. Who is like, has completely like turned his career around with Sean Payton in Denver. Also, Lucas Kroll has done the same thing.
Yeah, Lucas Kroll. Was Peyton Turner in that draft? Oh, he's 21. Not Peyton Turner, Pete Werner.
Who? What was Pete Werner? Now y'all making
me remember.
This is old age. Too much football. It was Reese, Bond, Adam Troutman, Tommy Stevens.
Oh. Whew. Nasty.
I would say 2020 is worse because Ryan Breece is like, you don't squint at Breece and be like, is he good? Like, he's good. He's
carrying a draft.
He's And A.T. Perry has like made like
flashes
here and there. So I would say 2020 is worse than 2023. But 2003, the thing that makes 2023 bad is 2020 had four draft picks. 2023, you had a lot more draft picks, and it still is looking.
And Foskey was like a high second, like a
high second. And that's the thing. That's the thing. I feel like sometimes me knowing the things that I know or things I get told makes things worse. Because no one ever told me that the plan was to draft Brian Branch instead of Foskey and Mickey Loomis like outruled everybody, it would just be like, oh shit, like they just made a bad pick, right?
Right.
But then you put the context behind it and it's just like,
oh fuck.
A lot of Saints fans who happen to be LSU fans are like, oh, Terrace Marshall Jr. has got cut from the he's been a terrible pro. Like a terrible pro. Like, can we just chill on the homerism just a bit?
Just pump the brakes. Like, I actually wanted to draft him. Was that 2020?
Same.
But even then, it was like, okay, you know, it was a guy that could come in, and because we were just thirsty for wide receivers back then. Just like,
the funny thing is, the Saints were going to draft him, and then speaking of that 2020 draft, Sean Payton got cute and then traded in front of the Panthers to get Tommy Stevens, and then the next year, the Panthers traded in front of the Saints to draft Terrace Marshall in the second round.
Exactly.
They both fucking suck, bro.
Suck, man. Suck.
Anyhow, we just wanted to come on here and just talk about roster cut down, Saints getting down to 53, the quarterback two, all that. If there is a need, emphasis, if there, like, I'm saying, like, something has to happen tomorrow that really would justify us to do another episode. But if there is, we will do a 15-20 minute episode depending on claims and if there's any trades and things like that. And we'll just kind of go from there. If not, it's the Panthers, bro. Week one. Will be,
these are your New Orleans Saints.
The way you just said that, nigga. Something really quickly, and I put this in our Discord. I watched a little bit of the DA presser. He looked dejected as hell, bro.
Yeah.
He just looked dejected in that presser. I don't know what that means. I don't know. All I know is the man.
It could have been, you know, I mean, you had to tell a lot of players like, hey, you ain't make it, you know.
That's true.
That could be emotionally taxing. I know I've seen Sean Payton like that, especially early in his career. But towards the end, he didn't care.
Get out of here, nigga.
Bye.
Playbook. Hand it in. Someone said, or I think this is Bunch's brother, said, you're going to be able to tell who practiced with Spence between games because they're going to be all smiles. Can we just go back to that? Like, Chris Olave told us, but Chris Olave told us, bro.
Told us, man.
Man was gleaming anytime you brought a Spencer Rattler this offseason, bro. Just was like, we throw a nice ball, and it's just, he just got talent. Yeah. Chris, how about, you know, Derek Carr on this offense? You cannot. Please understand this. These are grown men who have played football for a very long time. Like, they are professional football players. You cannot fool them. You cannot lie to them. So even if they make or made Spencer quarterback three, there are players on the team that's just like, give it time. Because they know.
Come on, man. They know. They know
when he threw that ball. Anyway.
They know.
We will be back if needed this week. If not, we may have like a little down period until next week rolls around. And then if it's next week, it is Panthers preview. We will record it on Wednesday. And then there is football next Sunday. And then in 2 weeks, I will be flying to Dallas.
Ooh,
man. I'll see it in 8K.
Oh, bro. I get to really watch Trevor Penning.
I got a big HD screen hanging on. See it close up.
Trevor Penning against Michael Parsons, booty banded in person, bro. Thanks, Unc. Appreciate it. But we love y'all. We got y'all. Thank y'all for the support. Thank y'all for tuning in. If you are not yet, please like and subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, please give 5 stars. Follow. Make sure you get every notification when we put new episodes up. We'll be back this week if needed. If not, we'll be back next week with the Panthers Preview Pod. With that, we're out.
Peace.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.